Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories with writer Kitty Mayo for the Lake County Press. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this positively splendid day?
I'm great, Tom. Thank you.
Good. Let's start out with your lead story here about the city agreeing to cover the Festival of Sail security costs.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So it's pretty big news. It's a story certainly that we've been following for many months now. And ultimately at the Two Harbors City Council meeting this last Monday, the council voted to cover the overage costs related to security, to law enforcement personnel and supplies. That also includes some amount of money that will cover paying for personnel and supplies for the city street staff who will be setting up signs and contending with garbage removal and things of that nature. So there's math involved with this, and I've got the numbers in the story, but I'll try and condense it for listeners, Tom, in that Craig Zimborski, the event planner for the Festival of Sail, anticipated somewhere in the neighborhood of $12,000 that might cost the city extra for having extra security staff, law enforcement of our own staff, but we need a lot more than that. So coming in from a variety of agencies and areas in the region. He was far off the mark, although that's typical for other festivals he does. And Rick Hoganson, our chief of police, had brought in an estimate over $150,000. So then there's been a lot of back and forth. What was decided this week was that Love and Lake County is providing a $50,000 grant to cover a portion of that. The city voted to cover $50,000 as a match because that was part of the grant requirement. They decided that they will use money out of the revenue generated by the city campground so as to ease the pain for taxpayers who feel like perhaps they shouldn't have to pay for that, which there were voices saying that very thing at the meeting on Monday. And it's been a lot of feedback in that regard. That if you do the math, there's money left over. Zimborski has agreed to pay up to $15,000 for those costs. And the city is looking for some more money to come from somewhere. It's almost $30,000 left over. So that's been a very interesting story to follow. And there's been a lot of twists and turns. And I'd say the primary take-home message at Monday's meeting was from both Zimborski, who I talked to afterwards, and the council, who made several statements that there wasn't enough communication early enough. And when I spoke to Craig in a phone call following the meeting, he indicated that he felt that the mayor, Chris Swanson, had kept the city council and himself separate on person so that he could control some of the messaging, and he assumed that Swanson was talking to the council very early on in this process.
So boy howdy, I could do 20 minutes on that alone without notes and not say the same word twice, and I think it would behoove this radio station and the newspaper that I allow you to simply move on to the school board story approving their preliminary budget. What do you think of that?
I think that sounds like a good move on our part and serve our listeners well. The school board, Lake Superior School District, this last week passed their preliminary budget for next year. And I always think budgeting is really interesting. I didn't used to, but I've been paying attention to how the entities that affect my budget operate in their budgeting. And over the years, I've become a little accustomed to some of the ins and outs and deadlines and requirements that they have. So this year, the school board approved the preliminary budget, as they must do within a certain time frame. They will have a final budget that they have to submit by December. And they hope to have lots of conversations between now in December that will bring the budget more in balance. So you get started somewhere, you make some conservative estimates. You can't predict the future, but you can maybe guess some trends. So one of the things they're dealing with is fuel costs for transportation. How do we budget for that? They anticipate spending twice as much on fuel next year as they did this year. And that's a lot of money. That's a chunk of change. So that's been started. It was approved as a negative budget in the red, which is not a great way to do accounting, but sometimes that's where you have to start and see then what you can move and remove in order to make your cost line up.
Oh, yes. Well, this is one of the things about an open democracy. It's seldom simple and neat, and it requires that people pay attention and participate. And mm-hmm. when fuel is a significant cost and human resources are a significant cost, why, it's mm-hmm. even more important to pay attention. So I think that probably we could just simply move on to the next piece here. County mm-hmm. is studying the effects of short-term rentals on local housing in the county.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I got to talk to Matt Huddleston, who is the administrator for the county. And he is such an informed individual. I always enjoy talking to him and asking questions. He and I spoke about, I said, Matt, what is the kind of the top of the pile of things the county is working on right now? And he said, it's the short-term rental issue. And his goal, not his personal goal, but the goal of the county and the board, and Matt's really focused on defining what it is that we need to find out. Matt is working with the newly formed committee to address short-term rentals in Lake County, and this is specifically short-term rentals outside of city limits that they're looking at. And the question at hand is, do short-term rentals affect long-term housing? And Matt is using a very scientific approach to gather information, to gather housing data, to bring it to the committee. They will try and synthesize that and bring it to the board for any future decision making. As you know, there's a moratorium in place for short-term rentals in Greater Lake County right now. And to get time to figure this out, do they affect long-term housing? How do they affect long-term housing? What would we see if we made changes, and how can we affect good changes so that long-term residents of the county can have appropriate housing? I'm really excited whenever people are doing evidence-based decision-making, and that's what's at work here.
Yes, and again, nothing is ever simple in an open form of government, and the very roughest and most basic scientific inquiry is to just see what houses are available for purchase or rent right now. And in the city of Two Harbors, that answer is very, very close to zero. And I would not be shocked to learn that it's not too different from that countywide. So in my own opinion, short-term rentals have just sucked all the air out of the room, and something absolutely does have to be done. There mm-hmm. are businesses in the city and in the county who cannot get the employees they need simply because the employees cannot find an affordable place to live. It's, I'm starting to go off here, and I should just allow you to move on and talk about early voting.
I would love to talk about early voting. So this is a public service announcement that we just wanted to let people know that early voting can happen already for the August. If you're going to vote in person, that would be on August 9th, in person at the polls, that is. That would be on August 9th. And there are a number of issues at hand. And I would encourage people to go to the Secretary of State website and put their address in and see what's going to be on their ballot. But the main message right now is you can vote early already for the issues that would be on your ballot. There's in some cases, depending on where you live, there will be city councilors, state legislators, other state offices. And in Two Harbors, for residents of the city, the recall vote for the mayor of Two Harbors is also on that ballot. So there's a number of ways you can do that. I really encourage people to explore that, the flexibility. Sometimes this helps people vote who might not otherwise be able to get to the polls. If they have mobility issues or transportation issues, this is a way for people to access their right to vote. And I'll just give the number to the courthouse. There's lots of options of where people can get more information. And this is maybe the most direct, which would be in Lake County. For anyone in Lake County, you could get more information at 218-834-8315. I don't care who you're voting for, but come on, vote.
Ah, yes. Mickey and I voted on Monday, and we did it right there in the courthouse at the auditor's desk. Filled out a basic application form first so they can prepare the label that goes on the ballot. And in our case, we used our driver's license identification number as verification of our identity. And there were a couple of voting booths already set up in the foyer of the courthouse, and we filled them out and put them in the envelopes and presented them to the clerks at the auditor's desk, who served as our witnesses. It was very simple, very straightforward, and very quick.
Nice. Thanks, Tom, for that breakdown. Appreciate it.
Sure, you bet. Your final piece is Straw Baby. Strawberry Farm has got a new owner.
Yeah. And so this is just like purely for fun and mostly my fun. I don't know how many people get as excited about picking strawberries as I do. I live for strawberry season. Tom, I don't know if you remember, at the end of last year, we found out that John Leball, who has run the Pick Your Own Strawberries, the only Pick Your Own Strawberries in Lake County, for years, I used to help him pull weeds and pick berries for him just as an excuse to hang out in the strawberry fields. And he had decided that last year was his last season, and he had no interest from anyone of taking his fields over. And I just want to share this because I'm really excited about it. Turns out, I did a little kind of wrap up the strawberry field story, a little picture, and a rare picture of me in the paper with John Leball. And a gentleman by the name of Jeffrey Berkland saw the article, read it, got interested, had an idea that maybe people really cared about this kind of thing, stepped up, and he's taken it over. So in the very same field, we have Berkland's berries, and I got a picture. I was given a picture of his grandson, Soren, eating a strawberry in the field with Grandpa having a big, big grin. And so, Straw Baby, I just had to share that.
Ah, yes. Strawberry fields forever. I know over 60 years ago, I was helping an aunt of mine picking strawberries, and at the end of our session, my hands were sticky from my fingertips to my elbows. Great, great fun was had by all. And I think that's a splendid story and a great way to end up this session on such a wonderful day. And is there anything else that you would like to present?
Tom, there's always more to the story, but I'll save it for the next time we talk.
Very well. Thank you, Kitty. And to our listeners out there who have tuned in, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you, and bye for now.
Bye, Tom. Thanks.